Welcome to Eat the Evidence, a show for cake and cookie decorators and sugar artists of all kinds. I'm your host, Kimberly Chapman, and this is episode number 18 on January 18th of 2018, and that amuses me as a great start to this new year. On this episode, I'm joined by Shanna Miller and Sam Plant to talk about the unique issues that surround being a prodigy in the cake world for both parents and kids. And I've got some special call-in messages from some of Sam's sponsor friends. So whether you're cleaning up after a decorating session with your kids, working on a cake order for someone else's kids, finally getting started on your Austin Cake Show entry, or doing whatever it is you need to get done today, let's get this show started to enlighten and entertain you as you make the world a sweeter place for everyone. Joining me now from San Antonio, Texas, are the amazing cake star mom and son team of Shanna Miller and Sam Plant. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
You guys have just come off like a pretty amazing year, and there's so much to talk about.
Yeah, the last year's been kind of full of things.
Crazy.
Especially for Sam.
Yes, I've been following the adventures on Facebook. I've been watching your TV spots, and you've been to cake shows, and I was going through your thing earlier and saw that not only with the collabs, but you're the True Color ambassador for youth.
Yes, ma'am. I found out about what they gave me that title a couple weeks ago.
November.
It's pretty cool.
Okay, so what does that entail?
So far, we haven't done a lot with them, but they've recently approached us, and I think what they're wanting is for Sam to help carry their brand, not just to the adult artists, but to children, like through customers that he has and through cake shows, teaching some of the junior classes, you know, other children that are going to go on to become cake artists. The nice thing about True Colors, if you guys don't know, is they are completely organic. And so with a lot of people having food allergies these days, they're the go-to company if you have people with food allergies.
Because True Color is just completely safe for those people with those food allergies.
So they've been approaching Sam and talking to Sam about maybe shooting some tutorial videos on how to use their product, asking him to represent their product at cake shows, and I'm sure he'll do some demonstrations at those. So it's a fairly new title, so we've been in discussion with the owners, and then they've been kindly supplying Sam with product that he can try out and use.
Experiment with.
So he's very familiar with their product in the end.
That's cool, because yeah, you have a jacket full of sponsors.
Yes, ma'am. I call it my NASCAR jacket sometimes.
It is, yeah. Well, you're a superstar.
Working on it, that's for sure.
Hopefully someday.
Why don't you give a shout out to your other sponsor, first people who came along for you?
So we just discussed True Color, but my very first sponsor was actually Satin Ice, and I absolutely love using their fondant. It doesn't get overheated very quickly, which is good because when I'm working with stuff, especially different modeling chocolates, it gets overheated. And they're such a great fondant and gum paste company.
You have hot hands?
I do.
Yeah, me too.
It gets kind of annoying, but I do.
Yeah, chocolate melts in my hand.
That's Sam.
Yeah, I like Satin Ice. I mean, honestly, I kind of miss it because it's really expensive as an import here. And I would bring it back home in my luggage from Austin, but it's so heavy, I'll have to pay a luggage fee. But, oh, that their dark chocolate is the only fondant I actually put in my face. I love Satin Ice Dark. They're not paying me anything to say that. I just will happily say that.
No, you're right. I open it and it is just like chocolate heaven.
It smells so good.
And they do use chocolate in both their brown and their black. We recently did some cookies for Fort Sam Army Base for the radiology department, and we actually used the black fondant on the cookie. And my dad called me up saying, "Did you put chocolate on these cookies? I thought you were going to use fondant." And I said, "We did use fondant."
It's like a two-in-one deal.
And he's like, "No, it tasted like chocolate." He thought we had topped the cookies with chocolate, not realizing that that was the fondant.
I didn't realize there was chocolate in the black. Is that new?
I could be wrong, but I was pretty sure that's what we were told.
Well, it could be that they have a chocolate black now that could have come out since I left, because I was using the vanilla black. It was like labeled as, so it's entirely possible that they've come out that since I left and I just don't have any.
Or it's entirely possible that I am completely wrong and I'm going to get a unit.
I think we do have a bucket that says vanilla black, but then we also have a newer one that says chocolate black. Of course, I could be wrong too, but I think that's...
Okay, but if we're wrong, clearly they should make one.
Yes.
That would be a fantastic idea.
Hey, listen to this, and we are completely wrong.
At least we gave them a new idea.
People already think it tastes like chocolate, so they need to put chocolate in there.
Yeah. I mean, I've bought chocolate fondant here from various other brands, including, you know, the cheap Tesco store brand, which honestly, no one pays me, right? So, like, if I'm just making cookies for kids or for a school fair or whatever, the cheap Tesco stuff, that's where I'm going. That's grocery store stuff, right? That's like going to H-E-B for fondant, right? That'd be the equivalent of H-E-B made fondant. Okay, that'd be Tesco fondant. Okay. So it's not special, but it's cheap. And so their chocolate is like, it's chocolate-ish. But like, do you remember in the old Peanuts cartoon, Lucy would make hot chocolate and all the kids would complain that it tasted like a brown crayon?
Oh,
and then she revealed because she'd just been melting brown crayons in a cup. That's what my husband and I refer to when you taste something that's chocolate-ish. It's, oh, this tastes like brown crayon, like Lucy would make. So, yeah, the other chocolate fondants I've had, to be honest, are a little brown crayon-ish. But that's that nice dark chocolate. Oh, man. I mean,
it is amazing.
I could just eat that bucket. I'm not going to because I'm diabetic and I die, but oh, my God.
Yes, unfortunately, while their product is nut-free, gluten-free, dairy-free, it is not
diabetic-friendly.
We're just sitting here, and it made me look it up, and no, it isn't supposed to be a vanilla flavor, and yet I've had so many customers tell me that the black tastes like chocolate, so it's got to be something about their formula.
Maybe. Oh, well, you have contacts with them. Tell them that they should make a chocolate black, because, I mean, you could just add black color to the dark chocolate thing, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely.
I mean, the chocolate fondant is stickier than the regular fondant. So, I mean, it does handle differently.
It does.
Typically, if I'm going to use it, because I'm going to eat it, unlike regular fondant where I anticipate it being pulled off, if I have satin ice dark chocolate, the whole point is, first of all, it's probably for my family because we're keeping it to ourselves. Let's be honest. I mean, again, if I sold enough cakes, I would sell that as a sales feature and I would buy it more because it's expensive. But if I have some, I'm putting it on a cake for us and I'm just going to drape it over the cake and then do some basic surface texture. Like once for my husband's birthday, Peo wanted to make a cake about pi, like the number pi and coding. So we took the little number stamps and did digits of pi all around the top. And then she had the letter stamps, the tiny little ones, and wrote like some lines of computer code.
Aww.
And that works really well with that stuff because it doesn't crust up like the regular satin ice does. Mm-hmm. It stays nice and soft for that purpose for longer.
There's been some various projects that we've done and we've blended modeling chocolate, even our own homemade modeling chocolate, with satin ice. The product that you get from that is just incredible.
I
did some peacocks on a cake in May, and they still, even in our Texas heat, they're still sitting beautifully on top of the cake from last May.
Wow.
Any of our demo cakes that or competition cakes that we've done with satin ice for competitions, I mean, we still have them. Right. They still look great.
Yeah. I still have mine.
I have heard some people say that, you know, oh, it crusts up. It's hard to work with. We have an advantage. We trained on satin ice. And so I think it's just been the easiest for us to work with because that's what we learned on.
Right.
Right. I learned on my homemade stuff because it was too expensive for me to buy. But then when I started volunteering at Austin, because they are a major sponsor of Austin, when we'd had for the kids table, this was before we had the kids classes, which obviously we have to get to kids classes since you're doing some. And so we need to pump that up. But that's for later. But when we were doing just the kids decorating table, we would have like, you know, the 8 or 10 or however many colors of satin ice. Well, once a bucket had been opened, if we didn't finish that bucket, and we went through several buckets, but you don't know the numbers that are going to come in. So it's like, okay, we open another bucket of black and we open another bucket of pink or whatever. Well, we would have partial buckets. And so then part of the volunteer perk at being at the kids' table, which was a really hard job, was you got free buckets of satin, or partial buckets of satin ice to take home. So then that would basically be my year's worth of satin ice. So, I mean, I would buy some. Like, if I ran out, then I would go to the store and buy some. But so that's like, that was my first professional fondant. And what I loved about it was it did set up so I could make figures out of it. Because then when I tried some other brands, and I don't want to say names when I'm saying something that didn't work for me, but there are some other brands that the point is that it stays drapey and soft for a long time. And I would try to make figures and they would just slump over.
Exactly.
So yes. You need to know which fondant works for your style. And because I'm a figure modeler, I really like satin ice because it will harden.
It'll firm up like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So do you want to mention anybody else?
Well, I definitely feel that I should mention Sydney Galpern and Simi Isomalt. They have been a huge help in me growing as a cake artist. And I love their product. It's the only isomalt that I've ever used. And I plan for it to stay that way just because they've got such a great product.
It is. It is. I mean, their clear is so clear.
Mm-hmm. Very clear. There's no cloudiness to their clear tiles. And of course, you know, she sells it untempered. But, you know, we just buy her tiles. They're already tempered. We can heat them up over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
They're just so easy to work with.
Yeah. I remember when I first wanted to try isomalt, and I went to, when it was still all in one bake shop before it was Make It Sweet, and I went in there, and it was a bag of crystals, and I'm like, I don't even know how to, what is this? Nope, not doing isomalt. That's scary. And it was a couple years later that Sydney came out with the pre-cooked stuff. It's like, well, that's very sensible.
Yes, and she just released some new stuff at New Year's, some new mats that I just can't wait to get my hands on. She unveiled 5 new things in the store for New Year's. I'm excited about ordering. There's some new mats that are inspired by other cake artists.
Oh.
So there's some new things out there for some work you've already seen. And now the mat's available, or the mold is available for other people to do it.
Oh, that's very cool.
So, and that's what I love about Sydney is, from the perspective of Sam, it has been a joy because she was that child artist,
mm-hmm,
that people weren't giving the attention to at first. Her parents have talked about how difficult it was to find somebody to teach her.
Mm-hmm.
That was, of course, before all these TV shows started showing all these things kids could do. I mean, she had to really, really put herself out there and work really hard to get where she's at. And I thoroughly respect all that she's done. And because of all of that, she knows what it's like to be the aspiring child artist.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's very good about recognizing in the children, hey, you've actually got some talent. And, you know, so I'm going to help you out. I'm going to get behind you. I'm going to be a supporter of you to help push you, because she's been there. And so I just have such a high level of respect for her and her family. They're probably some of the best people we've met in the cake world.
They're so nice, too. They're so friendly.
They are. They're so nice. They're just a pleasure to be around.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of talent there.
Yes.
He's probably one of the most humble people.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And I've noticed that about a lot of these child prodigies, like some are on this call.
Hey, hopefully he stays humble like Sydney has.
True. Well, but there's humble, and then there's also, like, when it is hard, it's that constant balance of not being a jerk when you've done well, but also you should get to celebrate when you've done well. And I know, I mean, that's a battle. I can't self-compliment. I can compliment everyone else. You know, it's hard.
Well, I mean, it is hard. And I think it's even harder when some people will interpret a self-compliment as being arrogant versus it just being a self-compliment.
Right.
And just, hey, I did well, rather than, oh, I did better than everyone else. I'm amazing.
Yeah.
Right. Well, but even saying something like I'm amazing, because, okay, right now you both are. Okay. Fact.
You.
Fact is you both are amazing. But if when I say it, everyone goes, yeah, either of you posted to Facebook right now, just those two words, I'm amazing, you would get, because people like you, right? People would say, yeah, you are. But you would also get some people quietly sneering at that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But that's not cool. we get that more as, you know, people who are younger or women or people of color. You know, we're all supposed to stay in our place and not say, hey, look at me, I'm doing a good job here. And that's hard because we should be able to say, hey, I just did a really good job. I just won this award. I just swept this thing. I'm 13 years old and on TV.
You know, and sometimes it's very humbling for me. It's hard for me to be that proud mother, but not to be the arrogant, proud mother.
Yes.
But it can also be very humbling. We run into people in San Antonio and they're like, hey, we recognize you. And they're talking to Sam and Sam's like, what? You recognize me? And it's some of those moments I just sit back and I kind of glow with pride. And but then also have, you know, again, we don't want to be arrogant people. So
right.
That comes with the whole giftedness thing. I mean, you and I, Shauna, have talked about that, being parents of gifted kids. And like what you were just saying with Sydney, when you're looking for the resources so your kid can go further than what's typically available, the number of people who come back and A, doubt that your kid can even do it,
yes,
or B, accuse you of being some kind of bragging mom who can't be realistic about their kid. It's so exhausting to go, no, my kid can do this. Please give them more resources.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've run into that. You know, sometimes when you say, you know, my son is a cake artist, they're like, oh, yeah, okay. You know, they don't realize, no, he really is a Sponsor Future cake artist. He's done some incredible work. And it's like I show it to them and they're like, no, there's no way. You can just see their demeanor change.
Mm-hmm.
I went from, oh, you're just one of those moms who thinks your kid can do it all, everything's great, to, oh my gosh, you're serious, your kid can really do this. But then on the flip side of that, we've already had where people have tried to take advantage of the fact he's a child. We've had people try to place orders with him and they're asking for $600-$800 orders, but they
like
want to
$100.
They want to pay him a couple hundred dollars to do it or less. Because, well, you're a kid. How can you charge that much money?
Right.
So,
well, Kyla and I were actually trying to be sensitive and concerned about Sam teaching the kid classes at Austin because those are volunteer roles. We were really thinking, oh, we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be saying, hey, dude, you could teach paid classes, but come on over here because you're a kid and not get paid, right?
Yeah.
Particularly because it does fund part of my airfare. I was being very sensitive, like, oh my God, am I using child labor?
Please do not feel that way. We've talked about it because even one of the businesses here in town, Over the Top Cake Supply, we've talked with them about the potential of Sam teaching. Kevin Johnson was actually at the Satin Ice Show in Orlando, Florida, the America's Cake Fair. And he was at the booth right next to the kids zone where Sam was working practically all day every day, except for when he was demonstrating at other booths or being called over to do something else. He was there working with kids. And Kevin did approach us and he did ask us about Sam teaching at Over the Top. So we've talked a lot about it. And our concern was maybe it is best to have him teaching kid classes right now, even at a volunteer level, and letting him getting that experience of teaching. Because it's one thing to do, it's another thing to teach it and having to walk through and describe the steps that you're just doing instinctively.
Exactly.
And, you know, our concern was, well, if we start letting him teach actual paid classes, adult classes, is that jumping him up into the professional category at these competitions where now he's going against everybody from, you know, Jared Altmark, another wonderfully young, talented artist, all the way up to people like, you know, Michelle Boyd and Shannon Bond and Kim Chapman. And
certainly not ready to compete with.
Yeah, that is true. Now, I mean, I would tell you, my guess at the rule adjudication for Austin would be you can hang out in teen until you're 18, regardless of whether you want to bump up or not. I would argue for that as a former board member myself, and I would be shocked if anyone would say otherwise, because we do want you to, we want you to try techniques at your age that maybe are new to you without the fear of, oh no, I will fail because I'm new and I've stuck myself in adult masters or adult professional. Now that's the same it's the same category now. We never kicked Tyler Gary out of kids when he was a teen.
Did he start teaching that young? I can't recall.
I don't know. I'm not sure when he started teaching, but I remember his first string work cake that came, and we were all looking at it going, what? Wait, what? this is drop string work in the teen category. Oh my God, we're building the future. And I remember the reaction I'd heard. I didn't see this in person, but I'd heard that Nick Lodge had seen that cake and went, yeah, no, I'm going to talk to this person. we're going to start some mentoring right here and right now, because that is part of the flavor of The Awesome Show, is it's always had that thought of building towards a future. And like we were just saying with Sydney having a problem finding kids class stuff, the reason we have kid classes at Austin is because I, as the mother of a gifted kid, not in cake, I mean, her stuff is more the science and math stuff, but knowing that that was not there, I was arguing for years, we should have kid classes, we should have kid classes. And there was always, when we were at North Austin Event Center, it was a space issue and all these other problems. But basically, between the combination of getting the new bigger venue with all those bright windows and everything, and me living here and saying, guys, I cannot pay £800 in airfare to come volunteer. I'm sorry, I just can't pay that. That was where the deal came up, where they said, well, what if we let you finally run these kids classes and cut you in for part of the profits towards your airfare? And I was like, oh, okay. And so that first year, I thought I had to teach them all to justify it. And I broke myself teaching for
That's a lie.
It was all, oh my, I think Akiko came and taught one. That's right. Because that's how you started, Sam. You took Akiko's class. Akiko stepped up and taught one of the classes so I could basically have a lunch break. And I taught the rest of them. And I was so shattered, exhausted that the next year, Kyla's like, find some more volunteers to help you.
Yes. It's crazy to think that, yes, you brought that up. Akiko White and you were the first two classes Sam ever took toward caking.
Right. And I only realized that the next year when you came back and you had the jacket. I'm like, wait, I remember you.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. That was just February of 2016. And then here it is, you know, February 2017 is where, you know, he had just turned 12 and he put himself in the teen category.
Right.
And of course, we saw what happened there.
Yeah.
So in just 1 year, you know, from sitting there and making, what was it, you made a dinosaur with Akiko and you did bleeding eyeball cookies with Kim.
No, bleeding eyeball cookies.
It was the next year.
It was the
first ever advanced class, because
I
said, look, if I'm going to do this, we need to do better to reach out to the young stars. And I hadn't met you yet, but like Nicole Peralta and Jesse Gall, you know, the kids who we'd seen since they were 6, 7, 8 and who were sticking with it with real talent. I said, it's all very well and very important to have the 5-year-old class on making ladybugs, right? Fine. Mm-hmm. We need to teach that it's fun to play with this stuff and we need to start somewhere. But we need to have classes for kids that go beyond the baby stuff. Because we have 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds who really want to learn how to do serious modeling, not just another ladybug or bee or, you know, cutie car or whatever. And so I argued for, I said, look, if I'm running this program, we are going to have an advanced class. And we're going to put warning labels on it that says, it's advanced class. And of course, we ended up having two kids in that room who'd never touched fondant before. But it's like, you know what? Like, at some point, I wash my hands of this, that if the parent didn't read, no.
And I'll
get
those in adult classes, too. So,
well, true. That is true. But those kids were a little upset at the pace of the class. And so I felt bad. And I did have to say at one point to them, I can't keep scaling this back for you. I'm sorry, it's an advanced class. I have to move on. And then they kind of disappeared. And now there's this whole thing where we had to have discussions about kids leaving the room because now it's a security issue. I mean, teaching kid classes is more than just saying, hey, I'm going to teach kids. We have security issues. We have, you know, we're not doing background checks at the show. I'm background checked anyway by FBI because I did adoptions, so it'd be fun. But do you know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of legal issues to teach kids.
Yes.
Collecting their data and all that stuff. And so, you know, I had to really fight to get this through. But doing the advanced class, there were kids in that class who, not just Sam, there were other kids who were like, thank you for teaching me something different. And now we've been able to carry that on because it's important. And as far as I know, it's the only advanced kids class anywhere.
Yeah, because, you know, we've been, I mean, not that we've been to all of the cake shows across the country that we'd love to go to. I mean, hopefully we're going to be able to make it to SoFlo. And I know True Color is asking if we might be able to make it out to the San Diego cake show. So there are obviously other shows we want to do, but the ones that we have been to, if there are children's classes, it's usually more of a kids zone area mm-hmm. where it's kids come up and, you know, they make something and they walk away with it and their parents usually stick around with them. It's not that class format that we see in Austin. And it is challenging to find classes for Sam, especially right now. It's getting hard because in order for him to take a class, it usually means I have to take the class too.
Right.
So now a $500 class is a $1,000 class.
Exactly.
We've had a few artists who have been very gracious and they've said, no, Sam can take the class without you. He's ready for that. Michelle Boyd, Tembo Sullivan, you know, they were gracious and they were like, no, he's fine. He's ready. He can be here without you. So that's beneficial, especially at a convention, because I can go to a class that I want to learn in and he can go to a class that he wants to learn in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you said, the legalities behind teaching children is where we get caught up, because they don't, if he gets hurt or something happens, they don't want to be legally responsible.
Right.
Because a minor was in their class without their adult supervision. And I get it. I do. I really do. So it's hard to find classes for kids his age.
Well, exactly. I mean, you guys had pitched a class about using ice malt with kids. And I'm like, oh, God, we can't. Like,
yeah.
Like, I actually had a panic at the thought of we would have to have so many forms, like disclaimers and health for, like, we just can't. I mean, I would love to, but this is why I'm sitting in the classroom with you, Sam, when you teach, not because I think you need me there, but because, first of all, we always have a volunteer in with the kids anyway, because someone has to help them do, kids need a lot of help, right?
Yeah.
You have to assume at least 2/3 of them have never touched fondant. And,
oh, yeah.
And there's always the 1/3 of the kids who don't, they're just going to make whatever they want. They're bold, they're fearless, great. There's another 1/3 that will cry if it's not perfect. And I mean, this is with adults too, right? Just hopefully less actual tantruming. Usually depending on the adult. But so we always have another volunteer in the room who's like the runner or whatever. But I'm staying in the room with you purely so no one can say I left a minor in charge of other minors.
Absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I'm going to be in your class, but like I will help like the other volunteer passing out stuff and helping kids. Don't for 1 second think I'm in there to judge you or correct you.
I think he gets that because when we went to the Sat and I show, the America's Cake Fair in October in Orlando, great show. It was way bigger than last time when they had it 2 years ago. You know, like I said, Sam was there and he was pretty much doing the same thing. It was in a kid's zone, but every hour there was a different teacher for 3 days. He taught a couple of the classes, as well as when he wasn't the teacher, he was assisting whichever cake artist was in there. So he got to see just what you were saying. You know, some kids just, you hand them fondant, they do whatever they want. Some, you know, think they know it all and they just jump ahead. You know, some follow you along and others just sit there and eat it or cry.
That's definitely not.
There were some kids that just sat there and ate fondant.
You know, so, but luckily, you know, I think it was very eye-opening for Sam. It gave him, you know, quite a bit of experience. And I did tell him at that time, I said, well, now you know what to expect in Austin.
Hi, this is Shane from True Color. We knew we wanted to start something on our own, to do something for ourselves when we initially became aware of the potential dangers of the artificial preservatives and synthetic food colors. When we analyzed what we were eating, we were shocked and found an astonishing amount of questionable and suspect ingredients in the food we consume daily. We were asked by our friends in the decorating community for natural colors, especially when those kids who have been so long excluded from colorful celebration. And we brought to bear our extensive experience in the food and color industry to focus on manufacturing and offering a healthy, natural alternative to the commonly used petroleum, synthetic food colors, and artificial preservatives that are on the market today. True Color stands on the cutting edge of natural food color development. We have literally spent years developing our natural colors, a true American innovation. We are dedicated to providing a healthy alternative to synthetic food colors for every family in the world to make a real difference in our lifetime.
Sam's classes, since he is doing two, I think we set it up one Saturday, one Sunday, or maybe they're both Saturday.
They're both Saturday.
But, you know, one of the things that we're hoping, though, is children respond to children.
100% agreed, yeah.
If they see somebody near their own age or their own age, wow, look what he can do. I can do it too.
Exactly, because one of the first things I have to say when I teach kids anywhere in the world is, how long do you think I've been doing this? A long time. More than some of you have been alive. Are you going to be as perfect as I am on the first go? No, of course not. And so, like, that's part of the little spiel I always do to reassure kids to not worry, particularly in the advanced class, because those are the kids who worry, right? Like, the kids who are just coming in to make a ladybug cookie, they don't care. But the kids who are coming in to make a sculpture, they care. And so I always have to set them at ease and say, hey, I've been doing this a long time. But for them to see someone like Sam just do it and say, yeah, he's been doing this for 2 years. It's like, wow, I want to do that in 2 years too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I think it definitely, they see that as more, it's more of an attainable challenge instead of being an obstacle. It becomes, oh, he's a kid too. Wow. So I could be that good. I could do that too. And it gives those kids who really do want to pursue the sugar arts some motivation to keep their hands on the product and to keep playing with it and to keep working with it.
Mm-hmm.
We have that conversation all the time. I may do something and then Sam tries to do it, and maybe his isn't as perfect as mine. And I have to remind him, okay, Sam, I've done it a little bit longer than you. Of course, not longer. The kids caught up to me anyway. But
well, you were still doing it long before I got into it.
You know, or we see some other artists. Mary Carmen Gonzalez with Satin Ice, she was my mentor. She's who got me into cakes. She's just adored Sam, taken Sam under her wing, introduced us to Kevin O'Reilly with Satin Ice. She's been a huge instrumental part in how far we have come. She was the owner of the cooking school that Sam started at a few years ago. So she's been very instrumental. You know, sometimes I can feel that way. Like, I can look at her and be like, man, mine is just not as good. And I have to remember, okay, she took classes with Wilton himself, and she's been doing this for X amount of years. And then I find myself telling Sam the same thing. We can't compare ourselves just yet to somebody like
who's been doing it for a very long time.
Sidney Galpern or Jorg Omsler. We're getting there, but we're not there yet.
Right. This does keep coming up on the podcast, the need to practice, the need to work. Although since I went to Cake International, there's now an exception to this. Carla Pooge, who makes those amazing life-size, very realistic people, she was doing a demonstration, and Rosie Cake Diva asked her how long she's been doing this, and Carla said, whatever year, and then Rosie did the math and goes, that's 2 years, and Carla's like, yeah, and she goes, well, but you must have been doing modeling stuff before. No, I never modeled a head before 2 years ago. We're all like, ugh.
Yes, there are the exceptions. We did meet Carla in Orlando, and yes, she is just amazingly.
That's a Mozart, right? That I can meet. Yeah. Not everyone's a Mozart.
They just pick up sugar and it just automatically molds itself for them because they are just gurus.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you can't aspire to that because it's not normal. I mean, most of us work and practice for a long time and find our niche. That's the other thing. You have to try the things that you bang your head against the wall 10 times and go, you know what? For me, royal icing, you know, just never going to be my favorite medium. It's just...
Exactly.
Like, it's just not who I am.
Yeah, I much prefer cake over cookies.
Well, I'm finding a lot of fun in the cookies now because it's a panel-based construction medium. Right? So yes. That's what I made in the sewing machine last year. I'm actually, yeah. I'm finally blogging it. I'm halfway through a blog post, guys, on the sewing machine from last year. I've been sick enough, but I got everyone out of the house today. So I finally, because the kids went back to school. So I finally started getting some work done. But yeah, so there's that. And I have entered the cookie category this coming year. And that's all I'm saying about that.
Oh, well, we'll be looking for it because we were just blown away by your sewing machine cookie last year. I mean, that was just amazing.
Thank you. But part of it is, like, that's a Julia Usher thing, right? That's from watching all those Julia Usher videos where she does these amazing 3D things. And her 3D style is very ornate with all those tiny little pipe dots. No, I'm not doing tiny little pipe dots. My hand is going to fall off. I will lose my pacifism and become a murderous, rampaging axe murderer if I have to pipe 1,200 dots. Like, that's just not going to happen. I can't do that. I physically can't do it. I emotionally can't do dot, 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 all the same size. I want to, it's beautiful, but I can't. So instead I watch her videos, and because I'm experienced enough to know what my niche is, I turn it into other nerderies. And that's part of experience too, is knowing what you like, what you find pleasing to do. And that takes trying all the things and throwing some out.
Yes, I agree. There are some things that, I mean, you can practice and practice and practice, and you just may never be as good with that medium or at that technique.
It just might not be your thing.
No different than Van Gogh being different than Michelangelo.
Exactly.
The art is just beautiful, but it's different.
Both incredible artists, but they definitely both have their own styles.
Yes, exactly. Okay, well, so there's a good question. For each of you, what's something that you've tried that you're just like, nope on?
Oh, heavy thing. Well, I can think of two. One, I can do it, but I absolutely hate doing it. And I think it takes me 3 times longer than anybody else. And that is getting 100% smooth buttercream, and longer and longer than so many other people I've watched do it. I'm like, why can I not do it that fast? I'm like, I'm still here an hour later. I would much rather crumb coat a cake and cover it in fondant and then make it beautiful than to mess with buttercream. Another is, it for me, it's, I'm still working on that whole royal icing thing for cookies. Like,
you just got those people that can do it, like,
you know, I go to
faster than they can snap their fingers.
It's like I go to classes and I come home with absolutely beautiful cookies, absolutely gorgeous cookies. And it's like, I can't believe I made that. And then I try to do it on my own and I'm like, okay, that didn't work.
Yeah.
So that's why I say I just need to stick to cakes and not cookies. Or my go-to for cookies is they're going to get covered with satin ice fondant.
Do you know what's delicious? Is a sugar cookie with dark chocolate fondant on it.
I bet. Because we've also done modeling chocolate on cookies.
Yep.
So, yes, the dark chocolate fondant on a cookie is amazing. You have flavor. You have, you know, a nice smooth base on which to work with. I can, you know, grab one of Tammy's stencils from 2T Stencils and put that on there, and I can royal ice over it. I can airbrush over it.
That's
and
right.
And I have a beautiful cookie when I'm done, and I didn't royal ice anything.
That's right. I put dark chocolate, when I had that kind of access to that dark chocolate satin ice fondant, I put it on cookies all the time because you can make them so quick. You cut out your cookies with your cutter, bake them, then you clean your cutter, and then you use the same cutter to cut the shape up. Whack it on with that stuff is even soft enough that a bit of water is all you need. If you're going to put other fondant cookies, sometimes you need a bit of corn syrup in your water just to be a bit tackier. But the dark chocolate stuff sticks fine to a sugar cookie on its own. And then, like, you don't even have to decorate it any more than that if you don't want to. People will happily eat a batch of Halloween cookies with chocolate icing on them that are just the shapes. Like, that's a thing you can take to school fair.
We found that if you cut out the fondant shape and put it on the cookie right out of the oven when it's still warm, the heat will glue itself onto the cookie.
Oh, see, I was worried it would melt off, but you guys are geniuses. That probably would work.
Yeah. You know, as soon as they come out of the oven, what we do is we use a fondant smoother and we iron them to make sure they're flat because I don't want bubbles in the fondant.
Right.
And I think that gives them just enough time. And so we put them on there, and you will see, especially if you're using the dark chocolate fondant, you will see some of those chocolate oils. But if you just let it sit once it comes back to room temperature, those oils dissolve right back into the fondant, and you have a nice, perfectly smooth fondant finish on that cookie.
Mm.
And you didn't have to use any water. You didn't have to use any pike and gel, corn syrup, anything. It went on perfect.
Oh, I'm like having fantasies now, you guys. Because like, literally beside me is an empty bucket of my last bucket of the dark chocolate fondant I ever had. And I keep looking at the label longingly, and I'm like, oh, and I have a batch of sugar cookies I did with my kids. But they flooded it with so much royal icing that I tried to eat one. I felt sick. I felt sick after I ate a cookie with that much royal icing on it because diabetically I couldn't handle that. But I can take a thin coat of dark chocolate on a cookie. I can only have one. I can't have like 10. But I can eat that. And oh, okay, see, I don't have sponsors for this podcast, but if Sat Nice ever wanted to send me a bucket of free dark chocolate, oh man, just sing it from the heavens.
She wants the large one. She wants the really big bucket.
Like the biggest one you have.
Yes, that's right.
The 5 gallon paint bucket size.
Well, here's what's really sad is that bucket that I bought here from a supplier, it was not marked as short dated, but the date was really short. And I thought, you know, for that amount of price, because we're paying a lot for the, you know, imported version, I was actually a little bit annoyed at that supplier. And I emailed them and said, This is a little too short date, kind of not cool. And they didn't fix it, which irritated me. But I thought, okay, that's it. If I'm only getting like a month and a half date on these buckets and I'm paying a small fortune for it, this is my last one. Well, so I covered a cake. That was the cake I did for Kyla's butterfly, the epidermis bullosa thing, right? And so I did the tutorial on how to make dark chocolate fondant into a bark effect because you have to lighten it, as normally when you do bark effect, you're doing darkening. So I did that cake. I had like, oh, not even a softball, like a palm's amount left. And I'm like, what am I going to do with this? I've got this huge cake. I literally put that tiny little bag in my freezer just so I have a little bit left. Like, I can't, it's not even enough to do a batch of cookies with, but it's in my freezer. And it's like a ray of hope on a sunny day.
You know, I'm the same way though. It's like, it is expensive. It is an expensive fondant. I'm totally willing to pay for it because it's a good fondant. Of course, I know it's cheaper for us than for you because it's not being sent overseas.
That's the thing. And fondant here is really cheap. Like, okay, this Tesco stuff I'm talking about, a 250-gram block is like a pound and a bit. So, like, you think about, like, $2 to $3 for 250 grams. Like, it is really cheap here because it's a more expected thing for people to use.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's then really, if I'm just making cakes for display, it's really hard, or for my WI, for my friends, for my family, it is really hard to justify, you know, a high cost for the imported bucket, but it's so good.
No, that makes sense. You know, when we go to conventions, it's not uncommon, you know, at the Austin show, we often come home with all the goodie bags typically have Sat Nice samples because they are a huge sponsor of the Austin show.
Mm-hmm.
But when we go to other conventions, sometimes we come home with others. And given that they sponsor Sam, we certainly don't want to be, you know, putting that on a customer cake because we want to make sure we're using Sat Nice for that. But I have no qualms about letting Sam just play with that stuff, you know, practice doing something with it. We're just not going to use it for customers or for anybody like that. But, you know, like you said, you want to save your good stuff for what people are paying for.
Right. Yeah. Well, or I was not going to put that dark chocolate fondant, that precious, precious stuff. I was not going to put that on a cake where I knew everyone was just going to peel it off and not eat it. So I still have some of that cake from that Butterfly Kids collab in the freezer. And like about every 3 weeks, I pull out a piece and I'll eat that over the course of a day. And I eating that fondant on that one, like I save it to the end, and I'm just like, oh god, this is so good. It is.
I mean, like you said, that dark chocolate flavor is just like the best flavor they have.
Yeah, it doesn't taste like fondant, is really what it comes down to.
No, it doesn't taste like fondant, and it doesn't smell like fondant. You know,
no,
people say, well, you can smell the fondant, you know, it smells like fondant. It's like, not some of them. Not that dark chocolate. It smells like a bucket of chocolate.
It does. I mean, like, all the Sat Nices smell, the vanilla ones smell vanilla-y. They smell, like, Sat Nice has its own smell. And, you know, obviously I end up using a lot of Renshaws being here because that's also fairly inexpensive and easy to get. That is, like, Renshaw's and Culpitz are the two bigger brands here, but Culpitz isn't as easy to get just where I live. So, like I said, cheap Tesco stuff. Or Dr. Oetker's white stuff is, it's, you know, it's fine to cover a cake that I'm then covering with other stuff. Does it elephant skin? Yeah. But if I'm covering it with stripes, who cares, right? And they sell the Dr. Oetker stuff will go on cheap, super cheap at Christmas time because people make their Christmas cakes here with it. So I just stock up, although I didn't this year. I didn't go shopping at Christmas time. I was too sick, so I haven't bought my Dr. Oetker. But when you open a pack of Dr. Oetker, it smells not like something you want to put in your face. Like, you know what I mean? It smells too sweet. It smells, it has that fondant-y smell, which some people like, but I don't. When we used to do the kids, when I was just doing the kids table at Austin, and we'd open, you know, that a shelf stable, quote unquote, buttercream that, you know, no butter has actually been anywhere close to. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. When we would open the 25 pound buckets of those, I would always go smell it and go, smells like diabetes. Because it does. It will put you off icing to smell a 25 pound bucket of fake shortening based quote unquote buttercream.
Yeah.
And that reminds me of this one time at Young Chefs Academy, the cooking school that I go to. We made this dish that was just so sugary. We started making jokes that it looked like we were going to get diabetes.
Yeah. Well, so you should actually, we should segue into that. You're not just doing cakes. You're like proper chefing it up there on some of your San Antonio shows and with his academy. So talk about that for a bit.
Well, like you said, I don't just do cakes. I enjoy cakes more than I enjoy the culinary side. It used to be the other way around until I discovered the cake world. But I certainly still enjoy doing culinary work, and that's often what I'm doing on my TV segments is I'm preparing recipes at home and then going and doing them on the TV show as a cooking segment with the hosts. And there have been, let's see, what are some of the better ones I've done? I'm trying to think of what some of the better ones were.
Oh, your cauliflower pizza.
Oh, yes.
Cauliflower crust pizza is a good one.
Because they always provide me with a theme, and then I pick recipes that fit that theme. And the theme one of the times was like National Health Month or something along those lines. So I did gluten-free alternatives, or not just gluten-free, but healthier alternatives for other things that people often enjoy eating. Like I did a cauliflower crust pizza. So that was gluten-free because you use the cauliflower to make the pizza crust instead of normal flour.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also did a cauliflower rice stir fry.
Very cool. I mean, I've watched some of them when they've popped up on the feeds, but I haven't seen all of them. But yeah, it's really cool that you're doing that because, again, not only are you telling adults how to cook, but kids are going to watch that and go, hey, I want to cook.
Right.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's not been able to attend as many cooking classes recently just because he's been so busy doing either cake orders or theater or all these other things he's interested in. Thank goodness they take a break over Christmas break and summer and allows him to do a little more. But as you can tell by his jacket, he still likes representing the school that gave him his start. I don't know if we've mentioned it, Kim, but he's actually in high school now. He wants to graduate early. Of course, he is homeschooled, so we have that flexibility of speeding everything up. But he's actually in all high school classes this year. He's got college picked out already. Do you want to talk a little bit about where you want to go to school and why?
Well, the one that I'm looking at right now, because I'm looking at a few, but the one that I'm most definitely leaning towards the most is, and I used to think it was Newberry, but apparently that's an entirely different school in South Carolina. Newberry College in Boston is where is as of right now where I want to go, because it's the only school in the country that I know of that has a strictly cake artistry program available. And Jörg Omsler was actually the one who designed the program.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yes, the way Jorg explained it to us was the college wanted a leg up on other culinary schools. Being that, you know, Jorg lives right there in Boston and he already taught for the school, they went to him and they said, can you design us an actual cake artistry degree program? And so it's the only program as of right now where instead of just graduating with a culinary degree and you've had a few units basically in, you know, dessert cakes and pastries, you're actually taking full classes in sugar, chocolate, structure, you know, sculpting. So when you graduate, you're graduating with pretty much a complete foundation in all the different avenues of cake artistry.
That is amazing because, yeah, I mean, I looked at the culinary type schools and I was like, I don't want to fold butter into flour. I mean, I know how to make a croissant and I will buy them. Thank you. some people like it and that's fine. And I have a lot of friends who've done that part of it. But I don't do alcohol. So I don't want to go to pastry school and have to do a bunch of stuff where I'm, you know, glazing with alcohol. So if 20 years ago, they're more than that, I'm really old, 30 years ago, if that had been a thing, well, I don't know if I knew I didn't wanted to do cake back then, but anyway, yeah, if that had been an option for me, I would have been right towards that. So, and they presumably would be happy to have you.
We're hoping so. Jorg has been very sweet. He has, you know, being that he teaches there, and obviously he knows the dean and stuff since they came and asked him to do the program. He has told us when Sam's ready to let us know, and he'll put in a good word for him.
Well, that counts for a lot.
It does. It does count for a lot. And, you know, if Mary Carmen Gonzalez has her way, Sam would have a full ride to CIA. So if he wants to go culinary art. You know, the wonderful thing, though, about the cake world is he doesn't actually have to go to college. You know, I would love for him to, but if he came and said, Mom, I don't, you know, by 18, he may not need it. At the rate he's going.
Right.
If he could take classes with all of the wonderful cake artists that we have available to us across the country, if he continues to take classes and he continues to experiment and play with sugar, by the time he graduates high school, there may be a job waiting for him somewhere. Somebody may say, hey, come work at my bakery. You know, he may have a bakery idea ready to go on his own, so he may not need that. I mean, the fact that he already takes customer orders, the fact that there's already people, you know, maybe you need to go intern somewhere, you know, maybe you need to go work under somebody for a little while. There's always going to be greats in the cake world that we can certainly learn from, and maybe that's more beneficial for him. Just recently, I've started working with Christy Seguin, who owns Cakes Rock.
I love her. She is so awesome.
She is awesome. She's amazing. Well, I now work with her. And I'm doing the office management, which is really great because it's allowing me and thereby Sam to learn a different side of the cake industry. He's getting much more insight now into pricing, cakes, customer service, scheduling, taking orders. This weekend, we took some customer orders. We're taking those up for some of the Cakes Rock customers. We're working the bridal extravaganza in Austin with Cakes Rock. And we don't know what the future holds. You know, we're doing a blogging class that she wants Sam to learn from with Kara from Kara's Couture's Cakes. She's
right.
Doing her blogging class right now. And, you know, Sam's learning from that. And he's going to be starting his own blog up. And True Color wants him to do these tutorials. And, you know, people like Marilyn Baywall.
Right. From Flexique.
From Flexique. You know, she gave Sam the opportunity to demo at her booth again at the Satin Ice Show, as did Debbie with Icing Images. You know, he got to go sit there and do demos. And it definitely draws attention at these conventions for those businesses when people walk by and they see a 12-year-old sitting there doing a demo. I just have such an appreciation for all of these artists because for me, I look at myself and I think, okay, yes, I do have some talent, but I'm 41 years old and there's a lot of 41-year-olds with my talent. But if you look at Sam, who's 12 years old and he has this talent now, it's amazing to think, what is he going to do for the sugar industry? I mean, Sydney came along and just revolutionized isomalt.
Right.
So it's like, what's he going to do? What kind of artist is he going to be? You know, is he going to be the next Ron Benisrael? Is he going to be the next Timbo Sullivan? You know, what is he going to be? And what is he going to do for the industry? And I'm just so appreciative of all of the artists and businesses out there that are helping to kind of set that future for him. He's just got to keep running with it and just being appreciative of what they're doing for him.
Hi, I'm Chef Mary Carmen Gonzalez, speaking to you from San Antonio, Texas, to talk to you about a young man with extraordinary talent named Samuel Plant, or as we all know him, Sam. I know Sam since he was approximately 8 or 9 years old when he became my student at Young Chefs Academy here in San Antonio. His passion for cooking and baking and his natural talent made him one of my star students. Since then, Sam and I have appeared in TV shows together, as well as cake competitions all over the United States. And I've seen firsthand the amazing progress he has made, always with the unconditional love and support of his mom, Shanna Miller, who's always pushing Sam to new heights. He has become the youngest artist to be sponsored by Satin Eyes, which, as you well know, produces the best fondant in the whole wide world. I am so proud of this achievement, and I'm sure this is only the beginning of a successful career for him. Congratulations, Sam, and all my love to you and your mom. You rock my world.
I mean, we talk about this a lot on the show, too. I call, you know, like the various streams or the various, aspects, because there are the people who just day to day make cakes for sale. And there are the people who never sell a cake and they teach classes or they come up with new techniques. And that's why I get really mad at that cake or faker nonsense, because we need both sides. If we don't have people teaching and creating, then the people who are selling are going to run out of things to sell. And if we don't have people selling, then there's no one to teach. So, like, we need both sides, and you can straddle the line and you can go back and forth. I mean, how many people do we know who started a bakery, did that for a while, discovered teaching, closed their bakery, went teaching for a few years, got burned out on travel, went back and opened another bakery? I mean, these are totally valid choices that lay before you.
Well, and I honestly, and if they're out there, I don't know who they are. I honestly haven't met somebody who now does the business side and the teaching side that didn't start with their hands on cake. They had to understand cake before they could go teach it, before they could go come up with new innovations for us. So I still see them as cakers. They've just gone beyond.
That's right, yeah.
Cakes. But they still have to understand the fundamentals of cake design to come up with new stuff for us to use.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, I never really sold many cakes, but where a lot of my practice came in and learning was because I did Bake-A-Wish in Austin. That's an important cake too, even if you're not getting paid for it. That's a kid in a shelter who needs that.
We support Icing Smiles, which of course is very similar. It's just more outside of Austin, but same concept and wonderful causes.
Yeah. Icing Smiles is more ill children, right?
Yes.
And Bake-A-Wish is more children who are in the system, who are in shelters or productive custody and things like that. So either way, kids who need cakes.
Yes.
And definitely, because I know a lot of my listeners, I can see by the numbers, half of them are the Central Texas people. If you are not volunteering sometimes if you can't volunteer because you have to put your own bread on the table, that's different. But if you have time, pick up Bake-A-Wish or Icing Smiles, one or both. They're amazing organizations that let you pick from a list of kids who say, one kid says, I want a Transformers cake. Another says, I want a Barbie cake. Another kid says, I want, you know, whatever. Like, I made a Lego cake because some kid wanted a Lego cake. It lets you find something you're interested in that you can do, that you can push yourself, because it feels so good to push yourself for a kid in need.
It does.
And then you donate this and you know you are making someone's life better, and it gives you like a competition does, that opportunity to really, because you're not costing it all out. You're not doing, well, I'm not going to add another tier because they haven't paid me for another tier. I'm not going to add more flowers because they haven't paid me for more flowers. It gives you that creative freedom for the good cause.
Absolutely. And for us, it's especially Icing Smiles, with it being ill children, it's, I don't know if you know this about Sam, it's near and dear to us, Sam wasn't supposed to be here. Sam does have a bone disease. He wasn't supposed to make it, and obviously he did, and we're very blessed by that. But it's something that, because we've been the parent of the ill child and not knowing what the future holds, it's why I actually went back to school. I used to teach college English. I went back to school and became a speech pathologist because of what therapy did for us. But also just that giving to other parents, that moment of happiness, even if it's just a two-hour birthday party for your child who may not see another birthday party, it's an amazing feeling to know that you did that for a family.
Yeah, it's an honor.
So it does mean something very special to us to give to those families, because we, early on, we didn't know how many birthdays we were going to have with Sam, or even if we were going to have one birthday with Sam. So we're no longer in fear of that, but we did go through some of that in the beginning. So yes, if people want to practice their talent, but they don't feel comfortable necessarily with selling, I've met some people that they love to make cakes, but they don't think they can sell yet. Get involved with these volunteer organizations and donate your cakes to a good cause.
They do training too, because I know, you know, I did volunteer classes for Bake-A-Wish. So even when I hit a point where it's like I was too busy because we'd adopted baby Robin, and so all of a sudden it's like, oh, here's your instant baby. Because you know what it's like when you have a baby, you don't know, am I sleeping tonight? You're reluctant to take cake orders because you're not sure if you can fulfill them. So I then went during that period and was teaching a lot for Bake-A-Wish. I had actually just started to talk to Icing Smiles about teaching there too, but then we kind of moved to England. But yeah, they're both phenomenal organizations doing such amazingly good works for kids who really need this as a moment of joy in a life where they're suffering from something.
Yes, absolutely.
And so it's a real win-win that these things exist.
It's good for, you know, children. You know, if you're a cake artist and you have a child in the house, it's a great time for the child to get involved, do something with those cakes, help out with those cakes.
Which is exactly how I got started.
Yeah, and let them deliver the cake with you. Let them see that they're helping another child.
Yes, I mean, it was a little bit of an issue when I started doing it, and Peo was like 5, so she was at the age where she could see that I was doing something, and I'd say, well, this is for a kid who's having a really hard time right now and is separated from one of their parents, or maybe both of their parents, and they're living in this other uncertain situation, so can you see why mommy has to make this cake for this other kid, and no, you don't get any? And I'd get this look, like, yeah, okay, look. But from a 5-year-old thinking, yeah, but I still want some of that cake. But by the time she was like 7 or 8, no, she was totally on board. And I think if she had had the patience to do more decorating herself, I think she actually would have enjoyed doing that for kids herself. But getting back to it, I've realized that I asked you both what there was something that didn't work for you, but we haven't got Sam's answers yet.
Yeah, we don't have Sam's answer. What's, remember back we were asking, she was asking us
what
something
our no that, thing was.
Yeah, what's your no thing or
something that I can do fairly well. I just absolutely hate doing it because of how monotonous it is. And that's modeling chocolate ruffles. I did that on a competition cake this past May and just never again.
Was that the San Antonio one?
Yes.
It was a gorgeous cake.
Never again until somebody's willing to pay me for it.
Until someone's going to pay me for it, but I will never, ever do it just out of fun on my own time ever again.
Was it just the tedium of getting them all even?
Yes, it was just how monotonous and tedious it was. But especially with my hot hands, I had to like have several ice packs out on the counter. Mm-hmm. And like every 2 or 3 ruffles, I'd have to hold my hands on the ice packs. And it was so annoying.
Oh yeah, but I model with chocolate, I have to have ice packs. And if it's humid, you got to wrap a towel around it. Otherwise your hands are wet and then you wreck your modeling chocolate with wet hands.
Yep.
I would have to say from watching Sam and watching him grow as a sugar artist, the one thing I think is probably the hardest for him is rolling out large pieces of fondant. And that's really just due to the issues with his arms from his bone disease, and all 3 long bones in each arm have been fractured. So that's probably the most difficult thing, but he's recently learned to panel. And it makes covering cakes so much easier for him until we can afford a sheeter.
I was going to say, somebody needs to donate you a sheeter. We need to have like an you know, a Kickstarter, Indiegogo, whatever, or a sponsor or something. We need to get Sam a sheeter.
Yes. That's the one thing that Sam is going to benefit from most in his professional career, or he will be paneling everything. So.
Well, it's hard. I mean, when Peo wanted to make her own cake when she turned 4 or 5, it was either four or five. I think it was 4. She was just so tiny. She tried to roll fondant like I roll fondant. I'm enormous. And my baby is a little itty-bitty thing. She is her daddy's daughter. She is tiny. And she was so little, and she was trying to roll the fondant and just literally didn't have the weight to push down.
Yeah.
I had, and she wanted to do it so bad, so that I lifted her up and pushed her arms down. and moved her back and forth like a weird puppet so she could roll the fondant until she got sick of it and then said, you can do the rest. But then the next Austin show came and, you know, kids aren't supposed to get help. So she wanted to do it herself and it was so hard.
Yes. And that, I mean, as he gets bigger and taller and stronger, of course it does get easier for him. But I don't know if it's ever going to be at the ease that he's going to want it to be at. And so learning paneling this year was good for him. But, I mean, he's grown. I mean, wait till you see this kid in February, Kim.
I've heard the voice change.
He has grown over 6 inches since February.
Am I going to know who you are? Are you going to come up and say I'm teaching kid class? And I'm going to be like, no, you're not. I don't know who you are.
It's death code. That'll be how you'll know it. Anybody who's had a conversation with Sam, you know, he doesn't come off as a 12-year-old. He's got a higher vocabulary. He hangs out with older kids. You put him in a room full of adults, and he's going to fit right in.
Yep. Hey, Sam, how often do you get asked, how old are you?
A lot.
I bet you do. It got on Peo's nerves.
And not even just by customers, but even by some of my friends. I've been told by multiple of my friends that they do not believe that I'm 12.
Well, see, I assumed you were already 13 because I knew you were 12 the last time we talked. So I'm like, it must have been a year by now. You must be close to 13.
Getting close next month.
Okay.
But, I mean, we have a picture of him with Timbo in Austin. And then we have another picture of him with Timbo in Orlando. So between February and October.
Mm-hmm.
And he has gone from barely reaching Timbo's chin to, like, almost the same height as Timbo.
Yeah. It's, every time lately I post a picture of Robin and another cake person's like, because they remember her as a baby, right, from Texas. She was 14 months old when we first came out here. So people, like, I posted the pictures of them doing cookies and crafts over Christmas, and there were all these, wait a minute, who's that kid? And I keep saying, well, I feed her, and she keeps growing.
I know. Sometimes I think I could stop feeding Sam, and I think he would still keep growing. So,
well, when Peo was, she had a growth spurt when she was like, it was just before we got Robin, so I think she was just about 7. And she was going up the stairs, and I could see that the pants we just bought at Target like 2 months before were already too long when we bought them were already turning into capris. And I was like, are you serious? And I said, that's it. I am not feeding you anymore. And she said, you have to feed me. It's the law. So, yeah, you have to feed them. It's the law. And they know it. This is the problem when we raise these empowered kids. They know that we're not allowed to stop feeding them because of pants.
Well, you know, in my household, we really discourage a sense of entitlement.
He's not. Are you not entitled to pants? Sam, do I need to call some help for you?
I really do.
All he'd have to do is call his aunt. My sister works for Child Protective Services.
Oh, dear.
Like, Aunt Samantha, can you come remove me from this household? I don't have pants.
We do have to provide our children with basic coverings.
Yes, we do. Yeah. And basic food. But you know what?
No, cat food does not count.
It only has to be basic food, Kim.
That's right. Only good children get to eat the cookies they made. Wait, hang on. that gets very Dickensian very quickly, doesn't it? We just had to put in a limit because Robin is very good at wheedling out desserts out of us, in part second child syndrome, right?
Yes.
You know, you're just not up for the fight as much. All Robin wanted for Christmas, when I asked her, what do you want for Christmas, was chocolate, more chocolate, and cooking tools.
Oh, I remember that post. I remember seeing you post that.
Yeah.
So all I want is video games, more video games, and cooking stuff.
There you go. So, yeah. So you can hang out with Robin, except she cooks differently than you do. But so, like, I made her a cookbook, and I put, like, you know, my cake recipe, the BBC recipe that I always use, that's like a dump cake, the thing where you dump everything in and then the hot water, and it looks like you've ruined it, but it makes great cake. So it's super easy, because you don't have to worry about, like, you know, creaming or muffin method or any of that stuff. So I made her a cookbook, and I rewrote all the recipes in as simple language as I could. She can't quite read yet, but so we could follow them together and say, now put this in the bowl, right? That level of recipes. There's basic sugar cookies, basic cake, grilled cheese sandwiches, because she's into that. But she won't call them that. We have to call them pan-fried cheese sandwiches. All right. Good, you said words. We'll take the words that you choose. But so I bought her. She loves pink, and Peo hates pink, and I'm not big on pink, but we're like, Robin likes it, and she's allowed. So I bought pink spatulas and a pink apron with her name on it, all this stuff. But then otherwise for Christmas, I mean, we got a little bit of Lego and stuff, but mostly it was chocolate. I bought her all this chocolate. So then over Christmas, well, what does she want to do? Eat the chocolate.
Yes.
So when we realized she was having hardly any dinner, and then she was eating a chocolate from the tree, a slice of Terry's chocolate orange, one of the other chocolates out of the bag, and then still wanted ice cream. We're like, all right, it's Christmas. And then it's like, all right, it's Boxing Day. All right, it's almost New Year's. And then I said, okay, look, Robin, I know you aren't very good with understanding the future tense, but come January 1st, we're back to one dessert a night. But I only tried to enforce it tonight, and it did not go well. What? But cookie and ice cream? No. No. So she's calling CPS. Here it's called something else. It's Department of Family Services. She's calling DFS on me today.
Oh, well, I don't know how much sympathy she will get when she said she's calling because she was not allowed to have more than one dessert. She's not going to get a lot of sympathy.
Honestly, I think she could probably get more sympathy for you letting her have multiple desserts.
That's right. That's right. She 10 years from now, she's going to say, my mom gave me diabetes. But she's the one most likely to go into cake. I mean, pretty much what she wants to do is make cakes and cookies and eat them. And other people can eat them too, though. She's willing to share.
Well, that's good, because that's hard for four-year-olds.
It is, but she wants you to eat one. I jokingly said to her once, Robin and Mommy gonna have a cake shop? Yeah. Aww. So that could be the future with her, although, yeah, she's four, so, you know.
We'll see where that goes.
She also likes rockets, so...
You never know. This one at four was asking Santa Claus for a pasta maker. So, and now we're winning awards with cakes. So
well, there you go. See.
It's time for a podcast helpful reminder. Are you working on a competition piece? Are you working on a client cake? When was the last time you checked the rules for your competition entry? When was the last time you read your client contract to make sure that you're spelling that name right? You're working really hard, I know, but every once in a while, you need to pause, go check that you're doing it right, because you're an amazing artist, but we all make mistakes. So right now, if you can pause, go check what you need to do, make sure it fits in the space that it needs to go into, make sure everything's spelled right, and then get back to work, because you're awesome.
I should think about what else we haven't covered. Were there any other sponsors you wanted to talk about? Or
there were a couple other people that I did want to mention. First of all, I want to talk about Icing Images. I have been working with their product a lot more lately. When I first got into cakes, I didn't even know they existed. But then my mom got an edible printer. And since then, I've been using Icing Images product a lot more. I've been experimenting with different techniques with wafer paper that I've learned at different classes, and I really enjoy working with Icing Images. Also, I want to, above all, mention my mother here. Without her, I wouldn't have even gotten into cakes, because I had no idea that the cake world even existed until she started working with, and that's where I am today now. And she's been such a big helping hand with me getting where I am today.
Aw,
thank you. Well, I mean, it is important what you get exposed to, and that's why we, you know, shows like Austin need to expose it to more people who are just coming in casually.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think we've just about name dropped everybody that's been influential for you so far.
Yep.
That's cool. Well, I mean, you've been doing this for so long.
And, you know, it's one of those where this, I guess it's going to come out sounding bad at first, but I have no problem with businesses wanting to use Sam from a marketing perspective, because at the same time, it is helping Sam along the way. Sam is 12. He draws attention. I have sat in a number of classes as an adult, and I've heard people say, oh, well, I've never used that. It just looks so hard. Or I've never even done that. I don't know. I don't know that I could even do that.
Uh-huh.
If businesses are showing a 12-year-old doing it, you know, there's something to that. Well, if a child can do it. So, you know, I have no problem with him using. But at the same time, he is talented, and he does want to do this. So the more mediums he becomes versed in, I think, is just beneficial to his career.
Right. Well, Michelle Green was on from the Business of Baking, and we were talking about this whole thing of the cake industry has this thing where it's not, because it's not just Sam. It's, and you know, most of the people who you see being ambassadors for product, they're not paid other than in product.
Exactly.
And Michelle made a very good point, which was, thank you, but I cannot pay my mortgage with fondant. So on one level, we all like it this way because the people who are pushing for whatever brand. I mean, obviously, I'm friends with Jackie Kelly and she does Renshaw, right? I'm friends with Mary Carmen and that nice. And, you know, we all get along, right? Like, because, you know, and everyone's got their things that they prefer. And if they're an ambassador for that, that's fine. I do worry sometimes that some of my friends are being taken advantage of. Some of the companies, frankly, are nicer than others. Some of them start out nice and maybe start to push it with some of my friends. And I sit here as someone who's not getting sponsored. I mean, I've got some free stuff for reviews and stuff. I'm so behind. Innovative Sugar Works sent me a sugar structure to review ages ago, and that was what I was going to make with my birthday cake. And I still haven't had a birthday because I've been too sick. But, I mean, I occasionally get some free product for review purposes, but I'm not sponsored. And so I do sometimes sit back and I go, huh, you're submitting a lot of articles to that magazine and not being paid. And you're doing a lot for that incredibly big company and not getting paid. And so I would like to see some of the bigger companies maybe start to pay more than just in product. I think it's reasonable to call for that. But, you know, there are levels to it.
I agree. And I think for us, you know, the hard thing, I guess, is it gets to a point where he's maybe expected, you know, to travel a lot, you know, at least getting some help with reimbursement for traveling expenses, because, you know, I have to take time off of work and then I have to, you know, either drive all the way there, pay for a hotel, you know, drive us all the way back, or, you know, come up with airfare to get there and back and hotel, just like you coming over,
right?
You know, for Austin show. That does get, you know, financially challenging for us when, you know, he may or may not even be getting reimbursed in product, let alone being reimbursed for, you know, travel expenses or at least having hotel paid for or something. So,
exactly.
You know, at this point, you know, there's not been a high demand on him, but if it got to, you know, that point, and, you know, there was a demand from a company that he has to be at a certain, you know, I'm not sure what would happen if we get to that point, you know. So, you know, at this point, it's been more, are you going to be at this show already? If so, you know, can we ask Sam to do this?
Yeah.
So,
and I think most of the companies, particularly the smaller ones, the ones where it's our friends running it, right? I think they tend to be decent people who aren't looking to take advantage. But yeah, some of the companies are very big. And that's actually, I think that's the problem too, is when Megan and Casey talk to me, like it's a personal friendship thing. So it typically goes this way. Hey, do you want a free one of these to review? And I'll say, are you sure that's going to be expensive for you to ship? And they'll say, of course we want you to have this, enjoy it and review it. Okay. It's like that, right? It's a casual friendly thing. There's no contract. There's no expectation. I don't expect them to send me a free thing. They don't expect me to produce something on a particular timetable. If, say, a company like that grew to the point that it was a third level manager discussing with me, they would not have that flexibility.
Exactly. You're right.
Yeah. So when you're talking about the big global companies, it's not like I'm purely anti-capitalist or anything like that. Just when you're dealing with a company the size of Satnice or Renshaw or, you know, CalJava or like some these big massive companies, they cannot have a personal touch with everyone they're dealing with. And so things can fall through the cracks where someone isn't treated as well as they should be. And it's not anyone meaning to be mean, but you know, like things can happen. As I've seen a few of these things and I'm like, oh, that was not worth that pallet of fondant for you.
Well, I can honestly say we have not run into that.
Good.
I mean, we have, as far as getting him to competitions, yes, that's, you know, that's out of our pocket. But as far as, you know, with both True Color and with Satnice, it's always been Bill from True Color. It's always been Kevin with Satnice. So it's been the guys up there at the top that are staying in contact.
Well, that's good. That makes a huge difference.
And it does make a difference. So we know that somebody at the top of the company is who's taking an interest in Sam. You know, Mary Carmen took us to Satnice. She introduced me to Kevin and she talked to Kevin about Sam and he sat down and talked to me and he made that personal decision that Satnice would sponsor him. It was at the America's Cake Fair this last year. We were packing up and right next to the kids zone all weekend had been True Color. Their booth was right there and they had been watching Sam the entire weekend, unbeknownst to us.
Right.
And they even mentioned they had seen him at another show. So my guess maybe was Austin. They watched his professionalism. They watched how he handled the mediums. They saw that he was at other people's booths doing demonstrations. They saw this kid being filmed by various local television shows, by Food Network, you know. And so we're all packing up. I wasn't even in the room, Kim. I wasn't even in the room. I had gone to get the car. And they went over and they talked to Sam. And when I got back, I went and talked to them. And they had nothing but praise. And they're like, we want to sponsor this kid. This is the future of the cake industry. And we want to be a part of his growth.
Yeah. And then that's a positive thing.
Yes. And they have been nothing but, it's been that personal touch. You know, they message us, they email us, they talk to me, they talk to Sam. They've been very personable. They're like, let us know if he's out of anything, if he needs anything, if he has any questions about our product. I mean, they have been right there. So our next goal is to start shooting some how-to videos, some little tutorials.
That is a great idea.
So they would like Sam to demonstrate how to airbrush with some of their colors and stuff.
Also, I thought of another company that I would like to mention.
Okay.
So obviously, I definitely love using True Color as far as coloring goes. But then I do enjoy using Artisan Accents flavorings. I definitely feel that Artisan Accents is a really great company for flavorings. And they just, I feel like I'm going to say the word flavor a lot in this explanation.
Well, you know, we typically use a lot of Moran. And that's predominantly because what is stocked most in San Antonio.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is Moran.
It's easy to find, yeah.
Artisan Accents, of course, you know, their flavor repertoire is growing, what they have. And we're starting to see it in a little bit, in a few quantities here in San Antonio.
Especially at shows.
Yeah, mostly we can pick it up at shows. And, of course, we know a couple of vendors that do sell it online that we can get it through. It's just not really made its way too much onto the shelves in San Antonio yet. Again, a nice thing about them, and of course, Loran, most of Loran oils are gluten-free. But of course, with the Artisan Accents, I do know that they're trying to stay that vegan, GMO, kosher, you know, they're trying to stay allergy-free.
Right.
And that really helps. I mean, we both suffer from food allergies. When our customers come to us and they have food allergies, and we want that ability to be able to go to a company that we feel safe with.
It's really important. I mean, I don't do alcohol for personal reasons, but I have a lot of Muslim friends here. And obviously in Austin and in Las Vegas, I had a lot of Mormon friends. And so those are people who would appreciate it if I, say, didn't mix the color with vodka.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, these challenges that we come up against with the, when you can find a company that supplies the thing that you need in the way that you want to eat it and your customers can rely on, that's really important.
It is. It is. So I don't know. You know, maybe after, now that Sam brought them up, maybe they want a little plug on here too. I don't know.
Well, so are they a sponsor or you just like them?
No, just he like just them. Likes them. Huh? No.
I bet they'd love to hear that.
We're not getting anything to say that about them. The only two that we know of as true sponsors for Sam
are True Color and Satin Ice.
Are Satin Ice and True Color.
Okay.
The other that he wears patches for, there was never any discussion of sponsorship. So it was more, I think that they saw somebody that they felt good representing their product.
Right. Well, and with Sydney and the Simi Cakes thing, you've been participating. So like you were just in her collaboration.
Yes. Last year we did it together. Sam helped a little bit last year. This year it was do your own. So yes, that was his first official independently done collaboration.
That's a serious big deal because, you know, a lot of people want to get invited to. I mean, I was kind of feeling left out for a while there when no one invited me to any of those things. And then a couple people did. And then I was like, oh, right, this is actually a lot of work. this is a lot of work for a cake that gets photographed from one angle. But yeah, I mean, dude, seriously, that's a big deal. You did a collab at 12.
He did. So he's officially part of the Simi Torch team, which is what she calls all her collaborators. You know, we both proudly wear her patch on our jackets because we have no problem endorsing that product. We love it. We think it's the greatest thing. We do love Simi's Ice Malt, and that's just all there is. So the way we interpreted getting the patch from them wasn't necessarily a sponsorship. It was more just
a partnership.
Hey, we recognize you as somebody who works with our product as well.
Yeah, it's more like a partnership, a camaraderie sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. My rule that I've set for myself, as I'm getting a bit more attention, is I hold a degree in journalism. I know how to write. I've been paid to write. So my rule is, and I know not this is going to be for everyone, but I am not contributing anything to any paid magazines unless I'm paid. I will contribute to nonprofit magazines. So I've done the BSG, the British Sugar Craft Guild magazine, even though I'm not a member of that anymore, but I did that. I'm very happy to do an ISIS article. That's not a profit magazine. But if a profit magazine wants an article from me, let's talk about the per word price. Because as a paid journalist, that's how you would do that. As a freelance journalist, you would be expected to be paid, you know, X per word.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that needs to be high. I'm not saying I'm going to get rich or make a living at it. But my firm line in the sand for me is if your magazine sells advertising and you are a for-profit magazine, pay the writers, pay the contributors. And when I found out that pretty much none of the magazines do that, so I'm not picking on any one of them, because as far as I know, none of them do.
I was not aware of that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was assuming people were getting paid at least something nominally, but I found out recently that, okay, if there's a magazine that does pay, I don't know about it, put it that way.
Wow.
And it's this whole for the exposure thing. And I loved what Michelle Green had said on the show. People die of exposure. And so I would encourage more people who are listening. You know what? If a magazine says, come contribute, be flattered, be happy, and then ask for money. Ask what's your per word rate. That's the language you want to use. What is your what do you pay per word? Or do you pay a flat per article? That's another legit thing that, you know, if Time Magazine wanted an article from someone, they would pay for it. Yeah, that's just my new beef personally on my personal life. I'm never going to tell anyone, ooh, you shouldn't have written for that magazine for free. That's your business. But I think that they should pay. I think more of the magazines should be offering at least some nominal fee. But yeah, exposure isn't be all and end all, because pretty much at the point where the magazine knows who you are and is asking you, you're already exposed. You're already somebody.
Yeah, that's why they're asking you.
Right.
Well, hopefully, you know, depending on how this blog thing goes, our goal will eventually be to, of course, have a monetized blog.
Right.
You know, maybe his sponsors would want to be involved in that. We figure we'll have it up and going and And the class that we're taking with Kara Andretti, it teaches all of that, you know, as far as, you know, how to get your blog up and going, how to get it monetized, how to get the views. And so that's something that he is working on. And so, you know, then he can put tutorials up and stuff like that. And he can work with his sponsors or some of these other companies, if they're interested in maybe having that partnership of, hey, your ad's on my page and, you know, people click on your ad and buy stuff and, you know, I get a little percentage because that's how YouTube works. And I told Sam, you know, with the blogging 101, it also is good for him as far as like even an English class, because you do have to write, you do have to edit. It's more what he needs for his career.
Yeah.
The main reason I'm even in class really is because it's to run the blog for Cakes Rock. I mean, also just as, again, helping him to continue to grow
mm-hmm.
as an artist. Share what you're learning, get out there, you know, forcing him to, you know, do those kind of things. My hope is to be able to run a great blog for Crispy, because that's the whole reason I'm taking the class. And then maybe one of these days, you know, Sam will have his own great blog and we'll see where it goes. I've got my hands full with him. He keeps me busy.
The thing of, oh, okay, ever-growing talent.
He's an ever-growing talent.
Said at first, I was like, with me always keeping your hands full, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Like,
she's your mom. She signed up for it.
I did.
What do I think of this statement?
I have to say, though, it is fun because we work together. We do things together. We learn and we experience together. We screw up cakes together. So,
not about not screwing up. It's about how you hide the screw ups.
There you go. He's a master.
First lesson we ever learned.
No, it's not about being perfect. It's about how you hide your mistakes. That's the first lesson you have to learn as a cake.
As far as I'm concerned, that's what flowers are for. Flowers hide so much bad fondant work. You know it's true.
Oh, yes, yes.
Stripes.
Suddenly the cake now has stripes?
Yeah.
Or...
I have one of those OXO mincers. So it's like basically the 5 pizza wheels in one, or 3, however many minutes. And so it cuts, you roll out your fondant, and you just cut these long, perfect, exact size strips, and you make a stripy cake, and who cares about that elephant skin?
That's right.
Yep.
Or, you know, like that one beach cake that my mom and I did for a friend of mine. We made a mistake on it. There you go. Now there's an extra dolphin on the cake.
There you go. Dolphins hide everything. That's your catchphrase now.
Dolphins on everything?
Dolphins on everything.
No, dolphins hide everything. Dolphins hide everything.
Dolphins hide everything.
Anyway, I should probably wrap this up because it is 12:30 at night here.
I was going to say, it's pretty late for you.
It is. And I will be seeing you in about 7 weeks.
Yes. 7 weeks.
I need to start on my competition cakes.
Yeah, me too.
He's got his sketches done. They're hanging up. I won't say anything about them.
Nope, good.
But say that he's bringing 2 pieces this year, and the dummies have been purchased and delivered, and they're ready for him to go.
In December, I bought the thing on which I'm modeling, and I have taken that out of the box and counted all the pieces that I need. Today, I found the Julie Osher book with the recipe that I need. Well, in particular, I'm using Julie Osher's construction gingerbread, but last year I made notes on how to British it, because flour is different here, butter is different here. We use golden syrup instead of corn syrup. So I adjusted the amounts a bit, and all my notes I wrote right in on her book, which normally I do not advocate writing in books, but cookbooks are different.
I'm an English major and an English teacher. I do advocate writing in some books. It's okay.
Yes. So it depends. Yeah, it's not defacing if there's a point to it.
Exactly.
So I had to find the book because I hadn't bothered to put the notes anywhere else. So I had to find where the book was in the pile. But so yes, I'm at that stage, and we'll see if I actually get started this week. I don't know. I'm still sick. Maybe.
Well, we will definitely look forward to seeing it, and we look forward to seeing you.
Yes. I'm excited to see you guys. Are you, well, Shana, you're entering, I assume?
The plan is to enter. Yes. I hate to show up and not enter, but unlike Sam, who has had his sketches hanging up for a couple of weeks now, I'm still clueless. When they announced the theme, they said the theme was science.
Yes.
I did notice now it's the science of cake, so that kind of takes a slightly different angle.
Well, and also the theme is fairly loosely applied. So it has been great talking to you guys. I'm so excited to be doing the kid classes with you, and you know, just even being part of this whole, you know, amazing journey with you guys. It's been an honor.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you for everything that you guys do. You guys are amazing.
Aw, well, we got some big shoes to follow. All of you guys, like, you know, you and, gosh, all the other
not me. Not me, the other people I worship.
you've got some pretty good talent there.
Yeah, you're pretty far up there.
Oh, Nessie, I'm going to get all blushy. Now, let's just talk about Mike McCary.
Okay, that's a big shoe to fill.
Yeah, go fill that. That's like a cavernous shoe. He is. I call him the cake god for reasons. He doesn't like it. He does not like it. That's why I keep doing it. Because if he liked it, again, with the arrogance thing, right? If he's like, yeah, I'm the cake god, I'd be like, dude, no.
Yeah, it's okay when we call you that.
That's right. We call him cake god. He says, no, don't. And now that's equilibrium. So that's there is your goal. No pressure. Anyway, I will see you in Austin in a few weeks. But thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later.
This has been the Eat the Evidence podcast. A warm thanks to all of my contributors. And you can find out more about them and the things discussed on today's episode in the show notes by visiting the podcast section of the Eat the Evidence website. eat-the-evidence.com/podcast. There, you'll find social media links as well as links to iTunes, Stitcher, and other places where you can subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. I've also posted detailed instructions on how to leave me a Facebook voicemail message and other options to call into the show. Please do feel free at any time to call in your very own cake formation, funny story, talk about a challenge you're having or have recently overcome, or rant about something driving you crazy. And if you like the show, please post a review on iTunes and share it with all of your sugar artist friends. This show was produced and edited by me, Kimberly Chapman. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, you are an amazing artist, and everyone involved with this podcast supports you. You can do it! Until next time, bye-bye, and good luck with whatever you're working on.
Not about not screwing up, it's about how you hide the screw-ups.